And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And wow, that was some game on Friday night.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Although, I can't remember a milestone game for Richmond that's been as much fun. Jack Dyer kicking 6 goals in his 300th as well must have been pretty fun, but we weren't there for that. But yeah, given when we were growing up, it always felt like Richmond let themselves down on big milestone occasions. It was nice to pull it off for once.
Yeah, against a really good opponent and another 6-goal effort in a milestone game. So it felt really nice. Like after a tough week of lockdown, it was just nice to see that there was fight in the team. And, you know, with Dusty out now, the rest of our season.
Yeah, we probably do need to talk about the best player in the competition getting injured for the rest of the season. That's a problem.
Yeah, like as I said to you and then Comrade Stoll, it did feel like on Saturday morning waking up after a house party where you burnt all the furniture. That was fun. But, we're sort of it's a bit grim afterwards. But, look, it's not the end of the world. I'm not sure we're winning the flag this year anyway. But
we're not winning the flag this year with this injury. So I was just having a look at the injury list for the next game, and look, depending on Sheds may be the most likely to come back. Vlossie and Prestia in the next couple of weeks, but maybe with a short week, it's not possible. But it's, you know, in the ballpark of 40% of our salary cap's going to be on the injured list next week. Like you just don't win. Yeah, we've endured periods of injuries in the last 2 years, but there were, you know, this has gone beyond a joke.
It is, and look, Nank wasn't fully fit on Friday night. He was, I'm jumping into sort of my mid podcasting, but he was clearly he's not a great jumper, but he does jump. Truly at the ball normally. He was doing everything he could to avoid having knee-on-knee contact with the big O. Fortunately, the big O was either too tired or too silly to notice, and he didn't change his own marking style and was quite happy to... Nank was actually, in Masters football, Bruckman aren't allowed to raise their knees, and that's pretty much how Nank was playing, just sort of trying to do barging in with his shoulder. It was obvious, and so he's not fully fit and yet still played amazingly. And so even, you know, Lambert obviously has had so many lower body injuries. He can't be 100%, but was incredibly important. So we've got the normal injuries and Shedders in and out, and then we've got the catastrophic ones of our star, our primary score involvement player, our centre-half back.
Three key defenders. One of the best ruckmen in the competition.
Soldo.
Yeah.
It's a devastating lineup, and yet even then we managed to beat a Brisbane team which had some injuries, but certainly not nearly as us.
Not to the same extent, and losing Camden McIntosh in the first 15 minutes, which I thought Jack Ross, no one can replace Camden's unique contributions. But I thought Jack Ross battled on pretty well, but so we're effectively one down from when Dusty was out in the third quarter, and then he had Asprey off the ground in the last quarter. Like it was a brave effort.
It was a brave effort, and losing someone, like, it was lucky that we had a like for like sub available, but like losing one of your prime runners, and Camden is one of our prime runners. That's a really big loss. And early on that we basically he was our leading possession winner, I think, when he did his injury. He seemed to actually do two injuries during the game. It wasn't a great game for him.
I thought Jack Ross had his best game for the year replacing him, though.
Yeah, okay. I thought he was okay. But
it's been he had a sustained period in the third quarter, which I thought was really good.
Well, yeah, where he was influential. But and you know, overall, like, just even being two people down, and you know, as you say, potentially three, we beat them in the final in the last quarter, 19-8 in the inside 50s.
Yeah.
It was very, and a noticeably unfit Nank. And yet we still ran over the top of them. That was, it really was, like, it was in our premiership run, we've always stolen one against, especially in 17, but, you know, basically every year we've stolen an unexpected one where we've been underdogs on the road. And that was very much from that particular canon of Richmond victories. And it's a very, very fun one.
I know, and the men scrambled to get there. They delayed the start time. There was a lot of adverse circumstance. Yeah, they should be proud of how they responded, and they really got around Jack, and it clearly meant something to Jack as well. He was emotional at the end. It wasn't just another game.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was just. There's so many things going on. Of course, the commentators, like, you know, this is one of the things about, you know, one of my pet irritations is that commentators in AFL don't watch tape. In American football, you're doing a game. The first thing you do is watch the last three games of the team you're covering. Now, and if you've done that, they know that, I don't think they mentioned it once, what a redemption story that was for Marbs, that game.
The Chol, I don't know, what do we call it? The Chol Curvis ruck combination, but that was hugely effective. And despite all the injuries, Marbs only had 56% game time, and yet what an impact he's had in that game time.
Well, it was really noticeable early on, and one of the reasons I brought up Marbs is because I thought he had such exuberance. When he looked so happy when he kicked the goal, and you could see his teammates were very happy for him as well. I don't think it's just cranky amateur podcasts who have been disappointed with his last quarters. They knew it was a very big deal that Marbs is, you know, he was under the pump and he's played an amazing game. But I said this on Twitter already, but you could see early on his body language was more aggressive in the ruck, and they did the VFL.
I think he wasn't having to pace himself throughout the game.
Exactly. I think the mere psychological... Yeah, and like it wasn't even... Like he was doing it right at the start. And I think it's psychologically knowing that you don't have to do that meant he was more prepared to...
And of course everyone would walk a bit taller with Nank to ruck with.
Yeah, of course. But it's also like when Chol's... Rucking Nank's not nearby, so it's not like he's bodyguarding him. It's just he gives him a rest, and suddenly playing in the role that he's better at. It's funny. It's like football is at the top level such a fine margin. Suddenly he looks like incredibly valuable. Right.
Instead of being our third string ruck going against other teams' first string ruck, suddenly he's either rucking against. The double teaming McEnany, or he's playing against Tom Fullerton, who's got a basketball background, and you know hasn't been in the AFL system as long as he is, or he's going forward where you know on the second or third best key defender, and it's a much better fit for him as a footballer.
Completely, and he can do it against the first ruck. He just can't do it all day. And as you say, like the less the around 60% game time is very much playing to his strengths. But
along with goal kicking. Oh my God, he's a beautiful kick for goal.
Yeah, I mean. He is a great kick for goal, but and he was having a good day even by his standards. I mean, there were two incredible kicks in his bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, the ruckman were actually 1-2 in the by the champion data rankings on most valuable players on ground
by the champion data ratings and in our hearts.
Exactly, but I mean, Nank was incredible. 10 intercepts, 7 clearances, 22 touches, 18 contested. That ridiculous tackle where he's been fined for, where he got the free kick. But you know, when I saw that free kick, because you know when you watch AFL players and you know they kick beautifully and you wish you could kick or mark like that. That tackle, which he unfairly got the free kick for and fined, I was just, my God, he's talented at violence. Like, so coordinated.
It's a gift. Well, I think it's both a proclivity and a work ethic for knowing how to physically impose himself in those circumstances. It's great.
Completely. Did you see the press conference when one of the journalists asked Hardwick whether he will ask Nankervis to tone down his aggressive play? I think I'm sure the journalist was being tongue in cheek, but Dimmer's answer was, "Tell you what, you tell Toby to be less aggressive, and I'll stand behind you."
Yeah, good times. It was great to have him back. We were still having troubles with the center square in the first half, and definitely,
It's how they got the back in the game.
Yeah, but made the second half adjustments, including Liam Baker. He's already sort of largely transitioned from being a defender, but that, and we've mentioned before with Lambert out of the team, he was sort of in that transition half forward role, but he spent a fair bit of time in the centre square as well.
Yeah, he did. He actually tied. I don't actually. Oh, that's interesting. But he had tied Jack Graham for pressure acts. So very impressive, 53. But he's just he's playing an excellent pinch hitting role. And his movement out of the back line is creating one of the most interesting things about this team is our, as Dimmer put it, our young Indigenous back line is. And funnily enough, Rioli feels young in playing in the back line, even though he's not actually young. But the three of them are really interesting. Like, they're under pressure sometimes, and obviously that, you know, Garthwaite is not broad as far as providing cover, but like they're all, it's been watching the three of them is they're playing well. Like, there's going to be ups and downs.
There is. Garthwaite is very much the poor man's broad. Like, they're both huge tank runners, so they cover a lot of ground so that they can sort of cover up for the mistakes within the scheme. And I thought Garthwaite went off his man a couple of times really well, but Broad's little sort of least best part of his game has been the one-on-one work, and at which he's got better this year. But yeah, the Garthwaite, you don't want Garthwaite standing there wrestling with the really big dudes.
No. And he lost. He's not Mark yet, right? He punches almost all the time. He's playing for a 6 out of 10 effort rather than taking the higher risk move, which is understandable. But to stick, he'll eventually need to start taking, taking more intercept marks. But anyway, the point is sort of the three young Indigenous ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we start raving about Mansell, how did you think of Rioli?
I thought Rioli was the best of them, and that was the most. Yeah, he was convincing in the role, I thought, and he covered a lot of ground. He went at nearly 100% disposal effectiveness, 7 intercept possessions. Like, there's still some things to work on, but it was pretty effective for me.
I was thinking he must be really enjoying having the space you get for easier possessions in the back flank, having spent his whole AFL career having, you know, the hardest possessions to earn on an AFL football field, which is the full pocket, and suddenly you know, he does get little cheap sideways kicks, and he's fast enough to use that effectively to get out on the break. Like, you know, I'm sure it's still a work in progress, but, well, it is manifestly a work in progress, but, like, you could see how it would be intellectually refreshing for him, because it's just he spent his whole AFL career being marked really tightly, and suddenly he's the hunter, not the hunted.
Mm. I think he'd miss kicking goals. That would be an entirely human response, but good on him for, you know, he's not old. He's 24 years old, but yeah, he's been in the system for a while. He's a three-time premiership player as a small forward. He would be perfectly entitled to, you know, be a bit nose out of joint at being asked to switch positions. But yeah, no, I bet it was definitely the most proof of concept for the switch that we've seen.
I mean, you've been a big. I mean, he has been dropped what, three times in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I think so. Something like. He's been in and out of the team. Look, I was about to say about Mansell. Like, I both really enjoyed Mansell's game, but I can also see, like, the marking contest with Linton McCarthy was pretty straightforward for McCarthy to nudge him out of the way. I think he's slight physically, so that's an issue for him, both in needing to build that core strength. But I noticed that Dimmer was very careful about his matchup after that, including having him on Coleman, who's, you know, a much more of a classic rover rather than somebody who's a good one out marking. But otherwise, I thought it was a really good game.
Yeah, so he twice it happened to him, he got bodied out on a high ball. I mean, also good to remember, he's still very inexperienced. Geelong may well exploit that this week as well, their bigger forward line. But yeah, I am. So aside from that minor thing, you know, he multiple times went back with a flight of the ball, real in an incredibly brave way. He's getting a reasonable amount of the footy. He uses it well. And
he's getting more confident in how he uses it as well.
He's an utter prick, which I love. Like, at one stage he ran 30 metres out of his way just to put a body on a defender, one of the Brisbane players, and just, you know, let him know he was there. I really like the way he plays. He plays like a tough guy, like a tough Northern Tasmanian player who had to come in through the state leagues, who knows he's got a... He plays like Jake King. He plays angry and... like he has to, like every game counts. Like I was just thinking because Liam Baker plays that way too, is we just need to keep getting these state league guys who don't get drafted.
Similar profile, yeah.
But yeah, he's wonderful. And you just look at him and you say, how is this guy not drafted on an AFL list?
I know. When they had we ended up having four players train with us, but going through the tape for all of them, he was the only one where just looked at it and thought, he just looks like a Richmond player. You know, the flashing at the ball and running in straight lines.
Fast.
He's not blazingly quick. I did notice he trailed Zach Bailey in a sprint at one stage. So he's fast without being lightning quick, yeah. I think. But yeah, really, you know, we're holding the back line together with masking tape, and he's certainly deserved to keep his spot. You mentioned Stack. I liked what he did, even if there wasn't an enormous amount of it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's an 11 possession game, but there is he absolutely lined someone up too during the game. That's right. But what I was impressed was, late in the game, he was quite involved. He actually got a free kick against him. I think it was a dangerous tackle in the back. I think it was dangerous tackle. Mm. But the reason he was going at that ball, like, and it was a second effort too, like an Exocet missile. Like he's there's still that magic there, and yeah, like there's just all three of them. You know, they're all young, they're all inexperienced in their craft, and they all have a lot of upside. And like, it could all go badly next week, but there's the excitement of you know, when you're an ex premiership team, sort of it becomes stale after a while, and you sort of
Keep winning all those premierships just does get boring.
No, but you know what I mean. Like,
seeing the same group of players. Yeah,
I mean, one thing that is very exciting about this game is it wasn't just the Old Firm. Like, the Old Firm was great, but there were some of our better players, including Chole, didn't play in the premierships, or Rioli's case didn't play a completely different position. So yeah, it's one of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to for the rest of the season, watching those three guys play.
Yeah, definitely. His inside 50 entry to Bolton was a thing of beauty as well.
Oh yes, wasn't it? He is a beautiful kick.
Mm. Yeah, when he flushes it, certainly stays flushed. Speaking of Indigenous players, what did you think of Manny Parker's debut?
Indigenous players who've come from the State League led the team in pressure acts.
Hmm.
Which I think will get him another game, because the 12 disposals isn't.
Well, that and the injuries to Martin and McIntosh.
Yeah.
won't hurt either.
I thought he was okay.
I thought he was okay.
But he sort of, if he was just a bit more coordinated, he's just a bit...
Just a bit more finesse, yeah.
He's just a bit agricultural, which is, you know, not, as you'd expect for someone, how we got him, how we did. But, like, at least he's having a red-hot crack, so...
Yeah, it just gives him a floor as a Richmond player, that level of effort and intensity. He did get out... Look, he was miscast as a... marking target when he was matched up against Jack Payne, who's enormous sized key defender. That's something he's got to we've just got to be careful about exactly what role we ask him to play. And he had a number of inside forward 50s and provided some energy for the team. So, yeah. I'd like to see him get another game.
Lambert did almost exactly the same thing he did last time we played for a game for us, in that he absolutely exploded, had 13 touches in the first quarter, and then completely ran out of steam, had only 10 for the rest of the game. But actually, I must admit, this was an observation. Not my observation, but I'm stealing it, is when he's back, he plays the Richmond way with the long forward hand passes. And it's like, because he's missed this period where we've gone to this more chipmark game, it's like he's been frozen in time, he's been defrosted, and he's still playing the old game plan. And, you know, he sort of forces others to play it as well by his presence. So... And obviously he's very good at it, because he's very good at running forward and finding that space.
Yeah,
so.
And has a massive tank, so he covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, this game and his last game have both been very good for him and Nank's reputation amongst Richmond supporters, because we've realised how much we miss them.
Yeah, definitely. Although, you know, he's got some best and fairest podium finishes as well, which should help in that regard. So aside from the big injury list, we also overcome a near complete lack of absence of impact other than spectacular missed shots on goal from both Arts and Castagna.
Yeah, but that's... Arts is That's his form line. It's not as been as strong as it was, has it? I mean, he had a 7 touches, and it was a bit disappointing. Pickett too was noticeably absent for much of the game, despite having his.
Yeah, although he's, I loved his when we were in forward 50, when he would go to pressure someone, they would stay pressured. Like, it's almost brutal at times, but and I love it.
Oh no! Look, I'm well. We know how we use on Pickett, and his mastery of violence is second only to Nax on the team. Cochin, okay, like it wasn't a top rated game, but it was respectable. It just felt like he's been playing like he's been towing a caravan. The last few weeks, and it looked like he managed to unhitch the caravan at times.
Yeah. Before, not after, yeah, taking a selfie with it and posting it on Instagram.
My good friends are, the caravan. Yes.
plan your next holiday out of lockdown.
while wearing your inspirational message socks. But it was just like, it was so nice to have all of them back. And is there anything else we can say about Jack's game, which was just vintage in every way?
Oh, I had that exact note as well. Like the big marks, reading the play really well. Like that the goal where was it Bolton or Dusty just chipped it. He was almost next to him, and he chipped it in the air, where only Jack could mark it.
I think it was Dusty.
Yeah, that was brilliant. And look, even, you know, we saying this from a place of love, but for his fifth goal, he did put a little bit of the Dangerfield sauce on when he felt the contact. From behind, which I think we've talked before about Jack's complicated relationship with the umpires.
It was kind of weird. I thought that, like, for one of the very, very first, very, very rarely, Jack got two cheapy free kicks, which he almost never gets.
Wasn't one of them down the ground?
Yes, it was, wasn't it? I can't remember. But definitely. I agree with you. We actually, by the way, won the free kick count, amazingly enough. So it was certainly out. It was a magical evening.
It was. By far the most. Was it more fun than the Essendon game?
I don't know.
I think so.
We had a sort of thing, we can still win the flag feel to it, whereas this game is more of a sort of, well, we're getting one back over these lippy pricks.
And we did it.
Jack.
We did it to Jack as well.
Yeah. There was a lovely feel to the game. Like, just watching it on replay, like the way they celebrated goals, like it had a really, maybe I'm reading too much. And Dimmer's press conference, he was beaming. At one stage I wrote down, like, he was obviously beaming when he was talking about Rioli. Then I noticed he was obviously beaming when he talked about everyone.
I'm sure it has been a really difficult week for everyone, and there'd be an element of, oh my god, I can't believe we're doing this again back at Metricon, but I don't know, maybe Metricon's now favorite ground or something. I don't know, but
it is interesting, by the way, also that to note that Dimmer in the box now, like he's lost so many assistants that he's operating the laptop himself, and I'm sure I can't remember them doing that in past years. Like it's getting, he's looking more and more like a rugby league coach where they only have sort of one other person in the box and they spend a lot of time frowning as they move around their enormous lumps of muscle. But yeah, like I think, as you say, it was a huge load off and very exciting win. Anyone else you want to talk about?
Well, look, can I just note that for a noted hard man, I thought Mitch Robertson fell down rather easily in that marking contest with Pickett in the first quarter.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, a lot of their lippy types got awfully quiet during that game. Just on the Jack thing, like it is a reminder of that when Jack and Lynch are up, because you know Lynch obviously had a match up at Andrews's good body to go on him, and then but it's hard to match up on both of them, and you know that's you know Lynch quite rightly was playing the decoy role and just played absolutely superbly.
Yeah, and just kept his work rate up all night, I thought. We shouldn't finish without talking about Dave Asprey. It was good to have him back.
Yep, he was very solid. I do think it's a bit of a straw man, but, you know, just back on Jack, like, look, I think it was only Kane Corns who was arguing the contrary, so again, it's a straw man argument. But the sort
nobody who counts, yeah.
But the line that we've been saying on the podcast is that you squeeze every last bit of blood out of the Jack Remwalt career, like you just keep going back.
My God, that. Yeah.
There's just no alternative. That's you know, as he clearly showed, he can still play at a high level, and it's just impossible to get even replacement level play out of your forwards, key forwards. So yeah. Not impossible, but just it takes an awful lot of time and investment.
Yeah, and it just you shouldn't take for granted, you know, just how special a player he is and what he means for the club. Like, you know, I realise Kane Corns is in no way advocating a strategy that makes coherent sense, but it'd be. Well, you know, we've got this really good team, and yeah, Jack, you've had a good year. I mean, you're currently second in the Coleman Medal, but yeah, we really need another one of our ruck forwards in the team. Oh no, not the one who played, the other one. We need him in the team as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because as long as it's not, like, we're going to rucks for the rest of the year, particularly if Nang's fit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's unfortunately, it's, you know, even if Callum Coleman-Jones is back this week, he's not getting back. We can't fit him in the team. Like, so, but there's pressure on Chol to perform, because there's clearly a like for like player, and hopefully,
so Nick, because we don't have
this VFL again soon, that you know that they can put that pressure on, and honestly, the same applies to Maurice Rioli Jr. putting pressure on Artsen Castagna. Like, really. It's just really hard when those guys aren't playing proper footy.
George would be feeling the pressure, I reckon.
Mm.
Since there's no VFL to talk about, I just want to ask you a theoretical question, Nick, and it's because I don't know the answer to this. Has Marbia Chol's value gone up or down over the last 5 weeks?
I don't know. I think you clearly can't have him as a number one ruck, but if you were always looking to have him in a forward ruck role, last night was certainly much better proof of concept. I don't know. He's available, which is the greatest gift of all in a position of some scarcity. So there'll definitely be suitors.
Available for free, yeah, exactly.
Except as an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah,
yeah. So he'll certainly get a reasonable offer, and yeah, nothing earth shattering. I would have thought.
Yeah, he's very much of a player that you have to look through a certain lens to see, and the sort of because some of those big ruck forwards is. If you make them the first ruck, they're competent, whereas he is not. So, like, it's just it says, are you happy to invest quite a lot of money on in that very specific as your sort of 21st player off the bench? I don't know. And like, I mean, last night was incredibly valuable. So I don't know the answer. But yeah. Anyway, good for him. Like that is the slight. Just to go back, that was a massive redemption story. And
It was great.
What an incredible week for him.
He was pretty fired up. I assume he had family
of
there.
Because
he's from Queensland. So yeah, good on him. We talked last week about Josh Caddy's somewhat mysterious absence from the team, but surely he's the most like-for-like replacement for Dusty.
I guess. I mean, it just feels so strange having anyone replace Dusty, because Dusty's not playing center square.
Dusty's role as a sort of 50-50 midfielder forward.
Well, the other one would be Asede.
Yeah. Don't get that much forward. Much. If you want center, if Presti is back, which he may or may not be.
I think not.
We've got him, and you've got a. Well, I suppose Ross stays in the team for McIntosh. So yeah, I think it's RCD or Caddy.
If he doesn't play, like things would make you go, that would be the thing that would really make your eyebrow shoot up. But did you see? Just like I've noticed, like no one I know. No, I'm not sort of. I haven't been pumping people for information, but I haven't heard a credible explanation why he's so out of favour. I mean, he doesn't look great when he plays. He does look a bit slow, but he's probably on a reasonable contract. He's sort of like you've got equity invested in him. Anyway, Bass and K-Mac going out. Do you think RCD comes in at this point?
Don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to tell without VFL form. I'd probably Caddy by a whisker, just because he can be a marking target if you want to change things up forward. But yeah, I'm team RCD in general, so I'd certainly be happy for him to get a go.
The path of least resistance is to be Caddy for Dusty, Ross comes in for the K-Mac, and then RCD's the sub.
Done. Poof. Who says it's difficult?
Yeah. Sorry, Nick, I interrupted you there.
Well, I was just going to say, I only started thinking about the Geelong match when about half an hour before we were going to start recording this.
I was somewhat in denial about it, I must confess.
Yeah, I mean, it's only Sunday before, I think, a Friday game. But, I mean, the fixture is in such complete chaos along with everything else. And part of me is also I don't want to move on from Friday's game. Like, between the win and Jack's 300th and Dusty's injury, like, that's more than enough to process. So, yeah, I haven't. And there's no betting line available for the Cats game because, the general uncertainty about the fixture. But I'd expect, what do you reckon, 15-point underdogs, 18-point underdogs?
Yeah, 18, I think, maybe. I mean, they were amazing against Fremantle. As we were talking about offline, they are extraordinarily old. To have only three players with less than 50 games is, not only the very old, but as we were discussing, the only reason they can afford that under the salary cap, because the more experienced a player, generally, the more expensive they are, is because players like to live on the surf coast, so that they're getting
slightly cheaper housing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the same number of players under 50 games as they had players under 100 games.
Yep.
This week.
Yeah.
It is an extremely mature team.
And we're about to get younger because we're losing 100 games.
Yeah.
100-game player in K-Mac and the 200-game player in Dusty.
Mm.
We'll have a fairly the fairly normal profile of a team that's, you know, bottom of the eight, scrappy
mid table.
Yeah. Except as you say, with 40% of our salary cap out, which you know, we would next week will be by far the lowest paid team in the AFL.
Yeah, good point. We sort of, it's cliche to say that how well we know Geelong. I almost take perverse pleasure in losing regular season games to them that no one remembers and then beating them in finals and grand finals. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I think there's a fair chance we'll get our sand kicked in our face this week. But you know something interesting, Nick?
There is a broader point of who cares? Like we could lose the next 20 games to them, regular season games in a row to them, and we've still beaten them in the last grand final. So.
True. But I don't think their rucks are going to be quite as generous to Nank, and they will actually jump on him. Whether it be Stan Lee or Bicklubs.
Blitzards.
Yeah. Blitzards, sorry. Blitzards, it's the problem is when I read it rather than hear it. But he's not, you know, they're not going to be as kind. And Tom Hawkins.
Stan Lee's not the most physical opponent, though.
I'm not saying he's a tough guy, but he can jump.
Much the same player. Formula of, you know, Chol for the high leaping bits and Nank. Nank grinds away.
There is a small chance that if he has that Tom Hawkins might bench press Chol into the third row of the stands and a boundary line throwing. But
I'm a bit worried. I'm worried about that one.
I presume we'll avoid that. But look, you know, in fairness, he beats everyone. He's been too strong for Nank at boundary throwings. He's an incredible boundary throwing role. Nick, do you know who the top rated Geelong player is in the AFL rankings?
Mangola?
Joel Selwood.
Really?
Yeah. And he's not that highly rated.
Oh, really? I thought it's a very mature, deep, if not, you know, there's no, as you say, incandescent star in the midfield this season. You know, Dangerfield's back from injury. And very dangerous as a forward. But
I mean, in a normal year, Dangerfield's top five. I think last year he was number one for a lot of it. So you know, it's not like they're not talented. But you know, you can't count the games he hasn't played.
No. They're third on the ladder. Healthy percentage. I think they're still. Well, they got beaten badly up at the Gabba a few weeks ago. So you sort of, no one has completely linear form. But yeah, they're deserved very warm favourites for this game.
Yes. And look, I don't know. I come with a blank slate. There is a chance. Nick, I would really love it if we went on a tear late, even if we lost this game, won the rest of them, and sort of played in finals. Mm-hmm. It's a bit silly when we're missing Pressier, Dusty, and Bolter for the rest of the year. I think that's
broad.
Broad too, but yeah.
And Hooley.
Yeah, I think we can cover. Well, I wasn't trying to be expand. I was just sort of picking.
And Vlosten.
Yeah, Vlossy's here. Yeah, like it's we're being ridiculous, but
when you put it like so it's 2/3 of our backline.
Two-thirds of our backline, our primary clearance player, our primary sort of the linchpin of the team that good great.
Our club's greatest ever ruckman.
You know, Nank's pretty bloody good. And his reputation is going up. It's hard to cross pair. I guess since Jack Dyer was a ruckman, it's pretty, you can't really say that. But yeah.
I was making a joke about Soldo.
All right. Okay. Sorry. Oh, well done. Very droll. Yeah, when you put it like that, I think we just sort of grit our teeth and hope that we put in a competitive performance this week, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Off the top of my head, I think Nank may be fourth on our all-time rucks. Like, Jack Dyer, Roy Wright won 2 Brownlow medals. Michael Green was in four premierships. Yeah, and then Nank, although between Michael Green, if Michael can do one final gift for the club and get his grandson to the club, I think that'd push him ahead. But yeah, he certainly had a great career.
If only we knew someone who was friends with the Green's mother to pass that message along.
Yeah. Apparently, quite a lot of the family are all Mad Tigers, as you'd expect. But
the talented players. Just quickly to wrapping up the week after we have Fremantle, we've got
the Adam Chera Cup.
Yeah, he's not playing that very well, unfortunately. No. I'm watching quite a lot of Fremantle at the moment.
No, I know it's a bit.
Yeah, like I'd like to have you on the team, but I don't really want to give away more than a late first rounder for you. Maybe that's probably underselling it, isn't it?
But yeah, that's underselling it. Yeah, I'm working on a thing on what draft picks are actually valuable for the off season, which I've thankfully put my off season research on hold now that we've got a regular season game that I can relish in.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want for the rest of the year is games as fun as that one. There's exciting things to learn, players playing new positions, and the core is still young enough. We've seen that, our two key forwards are viable. This rest will probably do Dusty, it will probably help him, as long as this injury isn't much worse. There's still plenty of hope for next year.
Oh, absolutely. We've got a good stock of picks and the flexibility, if not a ton of salary cap room. So, yeah, I think, there's re-signing Bolton, which still makes me nervous. But, there was a lot to get out of Friday night. And, I hope the rest of the season's more of the same.
Fantastic.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about 3 flags by 2020.
Fitzroy's played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Look at Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Can he just slow? He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.